liberals on skates pass through park gates. Zeros and threes pass right. Stop the car.
Material opening today's program at Liberty Conspiracy Audios. I'm Gardner Goldsmith, and this is The Conspiracy for Freedom in audio form. The website, libertyconspiracy.com. The way to contact me, libertyconspiracy@yahoo.com. Hope you'll visit the website and get in touch with me if you're so inclined. This is a place where people who support freedom have to congregate, because nowadays, freedom is not necessarily in vogue. We've got lots to discuss, and I want to thank everybody for their emails regarding the two special programs that were put together in honor of Patrick McGoohan. If you haven't gotten to hear them, they are posted at the website. You can also find them at iTunes. If you want to subscribe, you can subscribe for free. And we hope that you'll also visit the website often, because the forum is now open and you can weigh in on numerous issues that have been posted there by me and by many others, and that you'll visit a lot of the websites that are linked at the Liberty Conspiracy. Plus, we do want to remind you that we rely on your donations and your support by getting you to click the Support the Conspiracy button. That allows us to do more for the conspiracy, expanding it, spending more time on putting the programs together, making them nice, slick, very good sounding productions with hopefully some good content that you'll want to take with you and make portable and tell your friends about, to leave a preposition dangling. All right, we've got a lot of news to cover, so let's get right into it. That song is perfect for the opening of the program. McCluskey, I love those guys. And that song, Liberals on Skates, is perfect, because nowadays, liberalism has taken on its new meaning. Whereas in the old days, liberalism used to mean that you would be free to do as much as possible, and the government was constrained. The opposite is now true. Classical liberalism is dead, or at least close to it. And now contemporary liberalism is alive. The government gets to do as much as it wants, and it all does so in the guise of helping you. We've got a news roundup that really pulls together a lot of these stories, so let's get right to it. First off, we're not going to start with the big story of Barack Obama or even that plane crash that turned out to be such a miracle on the Hudson for so many of those folks, as the term is now being used, miracle on the Hudson. Instead, I want to turn to one of our old pals who is a liberal what? Republican. Yeah, that's right. It seems like they've all turned to that side of the state. He is none other than our pal, T. Boone Pickens. The subject is energy. The original Cat People Putting Out Fire from the movie David Bowie. Perfect theme for this one. And yes! We get the Charlie Callis foot in this one. You can only find it on the soundtrack, this particular version, and it's definitely much better than the second one that he did around the time of Let's Dance. Too jazzy, that one. This one has the voot-voot Charlie Callis weirdness to it. You gotta have some weirdness in your music, right? Nobody weird like me, Red Hot Chili Peppers fans. That's what I'm saying. Uh-huh. And nobody weird like T. Boone Pickens. Yes, Mr. Pickens. You know, Mr. Pickens was pushing a plan a while back, and seems like his plan didn't really pick up much steam with the American people.
Houston, we have a problem.
Let's go back in time to the rockin' hits of 2008, folks, when T. Boone Pickens spent a lot of money trying to promote a plan to force people to have to use more natural gas. Why? Because if he could get legislation passed, his company would make billions. Here's the commercial, going back on American Schlock 40.
Did you know, back in 1970, we imported 24% of our oil, and by 1990, it was 42%. Today, it's almost 70% and climbing every minute. Over $700 billion are leaving this country to foreign nations every year. That's four times the cost of the Iraqi war, and it's killing our economy. It'll be the largest transfer of wealth in the history of mankind.
Yeah, remember that wonderful commercial? There's even more, but we have to stop it here because it's so rife with fallacies. That's right. T-Boone Pickens says that when we buy a product called oil or gasoline, that's a transfer of wealth, as if we're not getting anything in return. It's called an exchange, T-Boone. It's called free market activity, even when we have the government constraining United States drillers from being able to find more here, even when we have the United States government restricting all sorts of other exploration and restricting refinement and putting all sorts of constraints on what can be shipped and the content of gasoline having to have additives put in it. Things like, ethanol and stuff like that, and MTBE. Even with all that, we have the semblance of a free market in oil, and strangely enough, it's still the best bang for the buck. I know it sounds weird, T-Boone, but people could freely now invest in your company for natural gas to be used in engines and all sorts of things, buses like you want from California. And it's very interesting, people aren't investing freely of their own free will. So what does that tell you? Seems to me, T-Boone, that instead of asking them to freely give their money for a product that they might want, you're telling them that you're going to get government involved to do things to make them accept natural gas as the alternative. It's interesting, T-Boone. What are we talking about here? When people are freely buying oil, that's a transfer of wealth. But when you seize their tax money to start up programs to transfer and change cars over and trucks over to natural gas, that's not a transfer of wealth. That's freedom. I think you've got it backwards there, T-Boone. Even though we are being forced by the federal government to have to buy all sorts of foreign oil, that doesn't mean that the answer is more force to now buy your natural gas. The answer is more freedom to allow people to deal with U.S. companies and to allow those U.S. companies to deal with American consumers to explore, drill, and refine oil. But you don't want that, do you, T-Boone? And by the way, the biggest transfer of wealth in our nation's history, that just occurred. It was called the bailout, TARP. Yeah, T-Boone, I wonder what you thought of that one.
We don't need any more talk. We need action, and we need a plan. And it's got to be the top priority of the next president and the next Congress. I'm T-Boone Pickens. I've been an oil man my whole life, but this is one emergency we can't drill our way out of. And I have a plan. In the coming weeks, I'm going to share the details of that plan to use American technology and alternative energy to slash our dependency and break foreign oil's stranglehold on us. It's our crisis, and we can solve it.
Don't you love the way these statists, these contemporary liberals, both in the Democrat Party and in the Republican Party and the Socialists and the Greens, but in this case, T-Boone Pickens is a traditional Republican, but he's a statist. Don't you love the way they use this all-inclusive we, that together we can do it? What is that exactly does that mean, together we can do it? Together we can force other people to have to accept our dictates for how they will run their lives. Rather than asking people in the free market, we will force them. Together we can do it. It makes it sound as if it's voluntary. It's not voluntary, T-Boone. You'll be forcing people to do things. That's not the kind of we that I like, okay, T-Boone? Because that means we, the government, will force others to do what we want. There's no inclusiveness there in any way whatsoever. There's no voluntarism. Let's hear the latest from T-Boone Pickens and his newest proposal. This one comes from Washington, D.C., and it comes from the Dallas Morning News as well. T-Boone Pickens said Tuesday that he's asked congressional Democrats to include funding to convert 350,000 commercial trucks to natural gas in their $800 billion stimulus package. Pickens' latest lobbying effort comes as his Pickens' plan to replace foreign oil with natural gas and wind power, the focus of his own investments, yeah, I'm glad they put that in the article, appears to have lost momentum.
Gee, what a surprise.
Despite a $58 million advertising blitz and a web of grassroots supporters, a very small web, none of Pickens' recommendations have been enacted by Congress. Wow, that's weird. Well, guess what? They probably will be. Pickens said he discussed his request Tuesday at a meeting with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Energy and Commerce Committee Chairman Henry Waxman, and two other top Democrats. Now, see, this is where we start to run into problems with people like John McCain. See, T. Boone Pickens is going to have lots of power. He's going to be able to do whatever he wants to do. He has lots of money. You, if you would like to stop this from happening, will have to take time off of your job and try to get together with other people who feel the same to take time off of their jobs and try to invest some money into a small marketing campaign to stop this from happening. And guess what? You'll probably lose. But T. Boone Pickens, he's got plenty of money, he'll continue to lobby, and nothing John McCain does about, I'm going to stop big business from influencing government, is going to stop it. Why? Because it's government that is the problem. Government, the existence of big government or even small government, which will inevitably grow into big government because of forces like Nancy Pelosi, Henry Waxman, and T. Boone Pickens. They are all at fault. You're not at fault, and your free speech is not the problem either. It's the government that can hand out special favors and pick and choose winners and losers very easily through its unconstitutional, immoral, unethical actions of regulation, tariffs, and taxation. Here's more of the story. An effort to convert 18-wheelers and other large trucks to natural gas would cost $75,000 per vehicle, Pickens said, for an estimated total cost of $26 billion. The stimulus package being considered by Congress may cost as much as $800 billion. Here's what Pickens said at a news conference after his meeting. 350,000 trucks on natural gas would decrease, get this number, your oil imports by 5.1%. Well, gee, that's interesting, T. Boone. It notes here, a longtime Republican partisan, Pickens said top Democrats have been very responsive to his idea. No kidding. What a surprise. And, he says, they, of course, didn't jump up and give me a standing ovation, he said, but we talked about the subject, and I think that they are thinking about all this very seriously. End quote. Pickens also wants the government to fund new transmission lines to transport renewable energy if private capital can't do the job. I see, once more we see that if people choose not to invest in it, T. Boone Pickens, you want the government to force them to do it. That's the way to operate near your neighbors. Hey, buddy, I'm cooking some hot dogs over here in my house, and I was wondering if you'd like to buy any. Nah, thanks, that's okay. We're having steak over here. That's cool. No. You're going to buy my hot dogs. But I chose not to. That's okay. I've got the police here, and they're going to take your money from you because it's the right thing to do. After all, we have to support the hot dog makers. Too many steaks are being purchased by Americans. It's the greatest transfer of wealth to steak makers in the history of man. So I want you to get hot dogs. Doesn't your company make hot dogs? Yeah, that's true. Have a hot dog. Here's more. His partner at the Tuesday press conference, environmentalist Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said, environmentalist, don't you love the way they depict Robert Kennedy Jr.? Bobby Kennedy is an environmentalist now. He said the government should fund the transmission to the tune of $150 billion.
I think we really are on an emergency footing here. We need to spend the money, and I think the government is probably the best one to do this and do it quickly.
We need to spend the money. That's funny, Robert, because people don't have extra money to spend. Have you noticed all the businesses closing around? And oh, that's right. It's hard to see them from inside your limousines and helicopters. I forgot about that. Sorry about that. Yeah, well, anyway, there are these things called private businesses, Bobby, and they're closing. Yeah, it's weird. And there are a lot of factors that have all come into play. And the amazing thing is they all have to do with government intervening in the marketplace. People don't have extra money right now, Bobby. I know, it's totally weird, isn't it? It's wacky. It's cuckoo. Yeah. So anyway, you know, this type of plan from Pickens and Kennedy, what gets me about this is that, you know, I've had conversations with some people who get these proposals and they push proposals in the state legislature here in New Hampshire, or your state legislature in your state, or in your country, maybe in parliament over in the UK, or whether, you know, whatever nation you're in listening to us right now, because I know, you know, it's kind of neat to be global. It's really cool. And sometimes I have two thoughts about these people. When I experience my initial reaction to these people is just to hold them in incredible contempt and feel very angry towards these people. There are two types, however, and I attenuate my anger, I decrease my anger just a little bit, when some of these people are not heavy hitters in politics. Sometimes they're driven by misguided emotion and things like that. I'll give you an example. A woman named Anne Marie Irwin, her daughter was diagnosed with cancer while she was in college in the state of New Hampshire. She was going to this place called Plymouth State University, a state college, of course, which is funded by coercively taking my neighbor's tax money. But anyway, so her daughter's going to the school, and the parents had gotten her an insurance policy for less, because she was, it's a health insurance policy, because she was a full-time student. They got a discount. That's the way the insurance company worked. Full-time student discount. Very cool. When her daughter came down with cancer, she couldn't remain a full-time student. So they either she could try to remain a full-time student, or she wouldn't be living up to her side of the contract. Well, Anne Marie Irwin didn't like that. And they got upset at the insurance company because they said, look, these are the stipulations of the contract. This is what you bought. And so after the fact, with her daughter dying of cancer, they worked in the State House of New Hampshire to try to pass a law that would force insurance companies that offered these full-time student discounts to have to continue to give the discount to the kids, even if they couldn't be full-time students. I know. There's this thing called the English language and logic, but emotion trumps logic many times, especially in politics. And, you know, Michelle, her daughter, died, and Anne Marie Irwin was very emotional, and the people who helped her pass the bill, one of them is an old high school buddy of mine, Will Infantine, generally a good guy, more conservative type guy, but he got involved with this. It was an emotional issue, and they passed it. And I had the opportunity to interview Anne Marie Irwin, and I wanted to be extremely careful when I spoke to her because I didn't want her to think that I was sandbagging her or that I was mean. See, she had the emotional side on her side, or at least the face of the emotion on it. I had ethics and morality and the state constitution on my side. The state constitution doesn't allow the state government to start manipulating and regulating businesses and telling them how to operate this way. And also the contract clause of the federal constitution doesn't allow this, but they weren't looking at these things. They you know, they're in the machinery of government. They can pull the levers and they'll do what they want. You know, the constitutions be damned. So excuse me. So Anne Marie and I spoke before the interview. I could tell she was very emotional. She was worried about what I might do. I could have ripped her to shreds if I wanted to, but instead I knew people would be listening to me. I knew I didn't want to upset her. And so I wanted to treat her very carefully and with as much kindness that I could muster at the same time that this bill was upsetting me and I found it unethical and immoral for government to start telling businesses how to operate, especially after this woman had already signed a contract. So I brought up as many examples as I could. She couldn't answer some of the questions, you know, because obviously she didn't want to try to answer some of these ethical questions or the constitutional questions. She was based purely on, we need to get this done. It's an emotional thing, and I'm doing it in the name of my now passed away daughter. Very tough to confront that sort of thing. Those types of people I will approach in a different way than people like T. Boone Pickens. T. Boone Pickens is a big shot. T. Boone Pickens has his own stake in getting this thing passed. T. Boone Pickens has enough money
that he could, if he wanted to, start up his own program to get trucks fitted for natural gas. He could start it up himself, but this guy, this jerk, T. Boone Pickens, doesn't have the guts to go in and do it himself. Why? Because he would fail. Because there is not a market demand for it. If there were a market demand, do you think he'd be lobbying government to try to force people to pay for it through taxes and redistribution of wealth into these programs? No way! He'd be making hand over fist money going at it right now. That's the way it would work. That's the way real freedom works. But T. Boone Pickens doesn't want to have anything to do with this. So he's of the latter category. He's of the category that when you see these guys doing these things, and I see these guys doing things like this, I will attack them like a vicious dog as long as I possibly can until my teeth are ripped out because I've been chewing on their legs so much. These guys are evil, vicious, nasty people. They are unethical and immoral in every sense of the word, and they're not just misguided. They are bad people, and they are trying to deceive people for their own benefit. I think that is absolutely repulsive. In the one case, a woman is misguided and overwhelmed by emotion. In the second case, maybe the guy's misguided, but you know what? I think it's highly more probable that in his misguided thinking, he's driven more by his own self-interest to get government to make people do things. T. Boone Pickens. Unbelievable. And you know what? He'll probably get part of his plan. Now, let's move on into another realm. This one, very interesting. Just a brief mention, because I want to give some props to the folks in the cabal at the Liberty Conspiracy. These are people who offer us information and offer us their donations. If you go to the donation button, and I really hope you will, we've got a number of people who donate. We'd like to add to that, and next month we might move forward with a program to try to add to the number of people who do donate to the Liberty Conspiracy. Could definitely use your donations. That's you can do a $3, $5, or $7 a month, and hopefully we're giving you something that's worthwhile, and you think it would be worth your effort to donate, you know, this $3 a month or $5 or $7 a month. And then you get entrance to the cabal, which is where these people appear. And they're very, very cool. One of the members of the cabal sent me this piece, and I thought it was interesting. This one and actually another one come from cabal members. The first one, just a brief one. Internal investigation clears Pentagon of propaganda violations. This comes from AFP. An internal investigation has cleared the Pentagon of violating a ban on domestic propaganda by using retired military officers to comment positively about the war in Iraq and in the U.S. media. In a report posted on its website Friday, the Pentagon's Inspector General said, quote, "We found the evidence insufficient to conclude that RMA, retired military analysts, outreach activities, were improper." The report said the controversy, which erupted in April following an expose in the New York Times, warranted no further investigation. Oh, of course not. The Pentagon is investigating itself. Well, I, the rapist, found upon investigation that I have not committed any wrongdoing. Thank you. No further questions. The Times found that the Pentagon laid on special briefings and conference calls for the retired officers, many of whom then repeated the talking points from those conference calls as military experts on television news shows. It also found that many of the media analysts also worked as consultants or served on the boards of defense contracting companies, but that those ties often went undisclosed to the public. That's what really got people upset. Yeah, these guys are getting paid by the military contractors, and they're saying, yeah, we've got to keep everything going in Iraq. It's good. Where's my paycheck? Unbelievable. U.S. law bars government agencies from using funds for domestic propaganda. But the Inspector General's report said the definition of propaganda is unclear. Oh, this is just great. Oh, man. The report said historically it has been interpreted to mean publicity for the sake of self-aggrandizement, partisanship, or covert communications, and that by those standards, the evidence did not show a violation of the ban.
Further, we found insufficient basis to conclude that the Office of the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Public Affairs, whew, boy, there's a bureaucracy for you, conceived or undertook a disciplined effort to assemble a contingent of influential RMAs who could be depended on to comment favorably on Department of Defense programs. It said the Pentagon invited retired military analysts to 121 meetings. Gee, that's really funny. I thought they were retired. Why would they continue to... Maybe they knew they were going on television, and maybe they knew that they were working for the defense contractors. That's really great. They had 16 Pentagon briefings and 105 conference calls and 9 trips, 4 to Iraq and 5 to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. What a lovely place to retire. Okay, anyway, it said some 70 retired military officers were involved with the program at one time or another. Yeah, so just remember, there's nothing like having the government give people information and knowing that those people are working for the very companies that are being paid by the government. That's right. But there was no wrongdoing in any way. Just take your mind off it. Now, we've got more information for you. This one is just terrific. This one comes to us from another Cabal member, Stephen Smith, who's been a guest here numerous times on the program. Stephen's blog is abeginnersguidetofreedom.com. You can check that out. Stephen, thank you very much. And I love this one. This headline comes from CNN. BCS is a political football in 2009. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I got to do my newsreader's voice. Dateline Washington. Since its inception in 1998, the NCAA's Bowl Championship Series has weathered criticism from nearly all directions. But entering 2009, the BCS may encounter a perfect storm, a unique bipartisan legislative current, and the imminent thunderhead of an Obama administration. The BCS is the system that chooses the contenders for college football's most prominent postseason games, the Fiesta, Orange, Rose, and Sugar Bowls, as well as the National Championship Game, which this year pits Oklahoma against Florida on Thursday. The BCS relies on compilation of polls and rankings instead of, to the consternation of many, actual competition. In a post-election 60 Minutes interview, President-elect Barack Obama, all praise, made clear his stance on the issue.
This is important. I'm going to throw my weight around a little bit. If you've got a bunch of teams who play through the season and there's no clear, decisive winner, we should be creating a playoff system.
Can you believe this? Oh, man. And this is great. The article says, Republicans and Democrats alike each year are angered by what they see as inherent unfairness in the arrangement. It's entertainment. It's a sporting competition. It's football between colleges. Oh, but wait a minute. How many of those colleges get federal aid? Ooh, that's right. The Supreme Court ruled in the Grove City College case that if you get federal aid, you have to conform to federal regulations for Title IX. I wonder if that might have any sort of a bearing on this. In 2008, legislators, for one reason or another, drafted legislation to invalidate the BCS on grounds that it misdirects commerce. Oh, man, the Interstate Commerce Clause rears its ugly head once more, the misinterpretation of it. Let me just get down to the bottom of this because you're going to love this little bit. I got to pass through a whole bunch of statistics and all this other stuff and blah, 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 the number of million, number of the amount of revenue that is generated by this. Listen to none other than the son of Neil Kinnock, Joe Biden, you know, because he said his father worked in mines in Pennsylvania when his father didn't work in mines in Pennsylvania, and he ripped off the speech from Neil Kinnock. You can find that noted at famousplagiarist.com. Yes, Mr. Hairplugs himself, Joe Biden, says this. In 2003, both the House and Senate Judiciary Committees held oversight hearings to examine the BCS system, though the combined result yielded not much more than a soundbite from current VP-elect Joe Biden. It looks un-American. It looks like a rigged deal. If there is anybody to talk about rigged deals, it's one of the most liberal members on economics in the history of the Senate, Joe Biden. Thank you, Joe. That's very interesting. Let me think now.
if the market decides this, if the market of these colleges, the way they work freely together to have their sort of a system, somebody else could come up with a different system if they want to. That'd be no problem. And they could compete. We're going to have our own bowl system. Okay, that's cool. As long as the government's not involved, how is that rigged, Joe? You see, Joe, you're the one who rigs it. You're the guy. And everybody knows it. I just love that. Stephen, thank you very much for giving that to us. And, you know, this is sort of like having the Congress hold hearings over steroids use, you know? Oh, my goodness. Well, you're not being fair with the American consumer. Oh, really? Okay. Well, let's just see. If the American consumer chooses to go see baseball games where they're pretty much sure that people are juicing up, what is government supposed to have anything to do with this? Why is there any interest in government in any way whatsoever? For the BCS or for baseball? These are private institutions, and they can make their own arrangements, and if people don't like it, they don't have to watch. They don't have to participate. And for goodness sake, amazingly enough, people don't even have to go to the colleges. I know. Wow. Crazy. They don't have to go to the baseball games. They don't have to tune in. The advertisers don't have to advertise if they don't like. They have freedom of choice. Joe, what would you like to do? Would you like to increase freedom of choice or decrease freedom of choice? Oh, I see. You'll come up with your own system. Okay. Now, I want to turn over to Joe Biden's great savior and all of our great saviors, the one, the only, Barack Obama.
Thank you, everybody.
Yes, Barack Obama, and we have our theme for the savior. Yeah. Way to go, Living Color.
Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cult of personality.
I got to see Living Color play at T.T. the Bear's place in Cambridge when I was in college. And there were maybe 100 people in the room, maybe 70. It was a tiny little place. And man, oh man, I was like 2 feet away from Vernon Reed, standing in front of me, just going crazy. It was awesome. And I got to tell you, you know, I happen to think Cult of Personality is their best song. And I wasn't so enamored with some of their stuff on vinyl or later on CD and so on. They had some good cuts, but none of them were as good as Cult of Personality, which is just, that's a timeless tune. That song is awesome. It's really, really amazing. But man, when they played live, holy moly, man, they were smoking good. The great band live, really good. I'd love to see those guys get back together and tour around. I don't know if they've done it or not. Anybody knows, email me at libertyconspiracy@yahoo.com. Okay, want to get into the information about Barack Obama, and then I want to just briefly mention something. Well, actually, I'll do it now. Congratulations to this man, Chesley B. Sullenberger, this guy who brought down this U.S. Airways flight. 1549 in New York. I haven't really mentioned anything about that, and we'll talk more about that later in the program, I think. But good news to know over the past few days. It's really made people feel wonderful that this guy handled everything so well, and all the people who went to rescue the folks on the plane did such good work. But let's talk about the good work of none other than the man who is our savior, Barack Obama. There's some new information out there, folks, and it all has to do with Barack Obama's impending presidency. Yeah, check this out. This is absolutely great. Some people have been talking about this, and I think it deserves some attention, as well as some of the policy proposals that Barack Obama has been coming up with. The latest from the AP tells us that as the recession continues to wreak havoc on the U.S. economy and inauguration celebrations ramp up, a lot of people are asking, how much will this shindig cost? The short answer, likely more than $150 million. And yep, that would be the most expensive ever. By comparison, George W. Bush's 2005 inauguration cost $42.3 million. Bill Clinton managed with $33 million in 1993. The long answer involves a lot of beefed up security. For the first time, President Bush has declared an emergency in Washington, D.C. to supplement the $15 million Congress has already allotted for security measures. It's no surprise that security costs are sky high. Barack Obama received Secret Service protection very early in his presidential run, and record crowds, like anywhere from 1.5 to 3 million people, are expected for the events. In fact, the Secret Service will be in charge of security not just for the inauguration, but for 4 days, starting Saturday with Obama's train ride from Philadelphia, Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff told the AP. It will be the most security, as far as I'm aware, of any inauguration. Oh, isn't that nice? Obama's much-discussed and very cool-looking, says the AP. That's funny. I thought they were just reporters. How can they I don't think it's that cool. I'd rather have it, you know, sort of pink or puce. Anyway, the custom Cadillac limo certainly couldn't come cheap, although they've never really known how much it costs. Cadillac spokesman David Caldwell said the car's exact specifications are a big secret, including the safety features and production costs. Mm-hmm. But Forbes reports it's not all flak jackets and armored cars. To manage an event of this scale, the District of Columbia will spend a mammoth $47 million. It is not enough. Much of the $45 million will go toward creating a dynamic inauguration experience for the everyday visitor, not just funding exclusive events. We don't even consider that these events are extravagant, says Linda Douglas, a spokeswoman for the Presidential Inauguration Committee. Linda Douglas, that's funny. She used to work as a reporter for ABC. Wow, that's weird. How could she be a spokeswoman for some politician? Everybody knows she has no biases whatsoever. Why would she be working for Barack Obama? That's crazy. With crowds of this size, most of our attention is being devoted to opening up as many events to the public. Isn't that nice? Well, there's a lot more to the story, but I think it's just wonderful that people's tax money can be taken for a purpose such as this. The inauguration. And it's also wonderful that Barack Obama got government security while he was flying around running for president. That's really cool. Maybe, do you think my house could get government security? But evidently people don't mind having their tax money taken for the government to spend because there's a new survey out. Where's Richard Dawson?
Survey said, ba-boom.
Yes, there's a new survey out that shows us some kind of troubling information, but it's something that none of us is really finding surprising, I'm sure. Let me go to the CNN report on this one, and it will explain itself.
Nearly 6 in 10 Americans support an increase in government spending to pump up the economy. That according to a new CNN Opinion Research Corporation national survey out today. 4 in 10 question oppose spending more taxpayer dollars. Support for the stimulus plan jumps 13 points when tax cuts for individuals and businesses are added to the plan proposed by Barack Obama and Democrats in Congress. Paul Steinhauser, CNN Washington.
Well, as we've noted, unfortunately, there are two factors to consider here. The sentiment of many Americans is that they seem to think that the government can spend money to help the economy, and the only way the government can get the money is by taking it from people to supposedly help the economy, either through taxation or by printing it and forcing people to have to work more to get what they used to be able to get because their dollars buy less. That's inflation. Deficit spending and inflation ruin the ability of the average American to be able to get what he wants to with the effort that he's putting in. They destroy productivity. They destroy the value of the dollar. Now, this poll is also quite interesting because it shows you, if you were to take, for example, the spending of Barack Obama down in Washington, D.C., people could say, well, you know, all this money that's being spent on the Obama election, the Obama inauguration is really good because, you know, the security people who are getting paid, they'll then spend the money in the market and that'll be excellent. And the government can start all this prosperity in the Washington, D.C. area. The restaurants will be helped and all these different things that are going on. All these employees who are going to be there, they're all going to be spending money in the marketplace. And that's wonderful. Well, again, we have to refer to what Stephen Smith brought up about Frederick Bastiat and what is seen and what is not seen. Or, for example, the broken window fallacy. What you're doing is you're breaking the windows of the average taxpayers out there where they would have been spending their money on something else. Now you're taking their money, you're shaving off a huge amount for bureaucracy, then you're paying off security people or whoever it might be, and those security people will be buying meals someplace. Well, that's something that indirectly the taxpayer is having to pay for now. The taxpayer could have bought something else with that money that would have actually been productive. But instead, due to the vicissitudes and desires of the politicians, it will be spent on what the politicians want, which means it is an immediate loss of efficiency and the standard of living for the person who has lost his money and was not able to spend it the way he wanted to. The way Bastiat depicts it, he says, look, you know, people say when someone's window is broken, that's a good thing because the glazier gets some business and the glazier then uses that money elsewhere in the economy. That doesn't expand the economy. All it does is take money from a person who didn't have a broken window in the first place, now has to replace the window, and he's out something else he could have bought with the money that he had to spend on the window. So not only does he have less of what he could have had, he now has a new window. That's great, but he's no better off than he was. In fact, he's worse off because he's missing what he could have bought. And the glazier gets the money. Well, that's great. So we should have all the politicians go around and break people's windows? That's essentially what they're doing here. And people are praising it because it's going to be helping the economy of Washington, D.C. False. It's going to be hurting the economy of all people. Oh, but that's dispersed, Guard. Oh, okay, so it's ethical and somehow that helps the economy? If you take a bunch of money from people, but it's a small amount, if you take a small amount from people all over the place, somehow that's okay? That's what they do with tariffs. They impose tariffs on foreign products, for example, sugar coming from Cuba. I use that as a great example because it's perfect. And because ADM lobbies to make sure that foreign sugar does not enter our marketplace, they force the price up, right? Okay, so we are drinking and eating a lot of things that have corn syrup sweeteners in it because ADM is now able to sell its corn sweetener at a price that can be competitive with the foreign sugar, because they've imposed higher prices on the foreign sugar for American consumers. We pay more for sweeteners every year to the tune of millions of dollars in the aggregate, whereas each of us, it might be only, you know, a couple hundred dollars more than what we normally would be spending if we could get the products with straight sugar in it from foreign countries. Since the government gets involved, they break our windows and force us to have to pay for sweeteners from ADM. And that added up amongst all Americans turns out to be millions or billions of dollars, which could be spent on other things that would help the economy to that amount and much more, because it would be productive. It wouldn't be this non-productive expenditure that the government forces us to make on these sweeteners that are provided by the people who lobby Washington, D.C. And for those people who think they're going to be seeing some tax cuts in this Barack Obama administration, we've already specified and spelled out to people that the people who are going to be getting the so-called tax cuts are the ones who are going to be receiving redistribution of wealth through the earned income tax credit. People earning $40,000 a year or more will see increases in their taxes. The Obama people, Joe Biden, they were deceptive about this. They weren't telling people that the actual tax breaks that are going to be given to people are for the so-called poor that receive the earned income tax credit, and they'll be getting money from others. The earned income tax credit is applied towards your Social Security or Medicare payments when you are indigent. And so that's what's going to be happening. It's not a real tax cut. In addition to that, those people who think that Barack Obama is going to be successful in pushing forward some business tax cuts to allow businesses to do some write-offs a little more easily, well, guess what? That was a blip for about a week, and it's been shot down by Congress already. Check this out.
The incoming president got a taste of what it's like to deal with Congress in the past week as Democrats pushed various changes to his economic stimulus plan, making it more costly and less business tax friendly. On CNN's inaugural State of the Union broadcast, Mr. Obama spoke of the give and take.
The good news is that we're getting a consensus around what needs to be done. We've got to have a bold, aggressive reinvestment and recovery package.
But instead of him being able to sign a new stimulus right away, the best hope is it might pass Congress in less than a month. Bob Costantini, CNN Washington.
You know, I have to say, I wonder whether Obama was really serious about that in the first place, or he worked with the congressional and Senate Democrats to come up with this proposal and then make it look like he pushed it, but he lost because of the vicissitudes and necessities of the budget problems in the United States. I wonder whether he was ever really honestly interested in giving tax breaks to businesses in any way whatsoever. Now, there's more on Obama and some of his proposals. We're going to discuss those tomorrow. Right now, we need to take a break, and we're going to hear from some of the folks who back us up. I would very, very much like it if you like these podcasts, you visit some of the people who help support us on the broadcast. First off, SACL CAI, Jason Osborne, great guy. SACL CAI is a company that handles collections for large businesses. If you're involved with healthcare, you're involved with a law firm, you're involved with education, some of the larger businesses out there that have many, many clients, and sometimes some of those clients don't pay that quickly, well, you can concentrate on your line of endeavor while SACL concentrates on getting back what's owed you. They do great work. SACLCAI.com is the website. I also want to thank the folks at Freedom Book Club. Ferb and the gang at Freedom Book Club do fantastic work in promoting liberty-oriented books. If you've never heard of Freedom Book Club, never, maybe you're just discovering our podcast, the Freedom Book Club is a really good idea that was partially inspired, I think, by the book bomb for Ron Paul's Revolution, a Manifesto, when that first came out, placing it on the top of the charts at Amazon, the bestsellers listed in the New York Times and things like that. And the idea is, we know we've got a network of freedom lovers out there. There are so many of us out there, and we all tend to congregate around the same ideas. So why not make sure that we concentrate our efforts in once a month picking out a book that we'd like to push up a little higher in the bestsellers list. And the Freedom Book Club does that. They offer different offerings, different choices every month, and people can vote. And at the end of the month, one book is picked. It's given the honor of being the Freedom Book Club Book of the Month. It's a great idea. You don't have to buy it, but the idea is that you will consider buying that book along with many of the others who frequent the Freedom Book Club and shoot it up a little higher in the bestsellers list. At the end of the year, the Freedom Book Club Book of the Year will be announced, and in fact, it will be announced at this year's Liberty Forum in Nashua, New Hampshire in March, and I'll be the one who announces it. There'll be an award offered, and a scholarship amount will be given out to a free market children's scholarship fund, which is really great. So I think it's a terrific idea. I hope you'll go there. This month's book is a fantastic one from the legendary Murray Rothbard, What Has Government Done to Our Money? And it traces a lot of what the central banking has done to our economy. It's a really, really great book. And I also want to thank the folks at none other than FreeKeen.com. FreeKeen.com is a terrific website. We'll hear a little bit more about them in a second. So we'll take a break, come back, and when we return, we'll be joined by none other than a friend of our program's, Glenn Jacobs, right here at The Conspiracy.
This program is brought to you by FreeKeen.com. FreeKeen.com features audio, video, and blogs chronicling the transition to a voluntary society. FreeKeen.com also has comments and discussion forums so you can be heard. FreeKeen.com.
Shoot, you know, folks, I'm looking at the size of the file, and I've decided that rather than presenting you with our interview with Glenn Jacobs right now in this very large sound file that some people either might have a hard time downloading or some people might not be able to listen to all in its entirety in a large chunk, which would turn out to be almost an hour and a half long, what I'm going to do is delay the presentation of our conversation with Glenn Jacobs, otherwise known as Kane in the wrestling world, and present that to you tomorrow. And I hope you don't mind, but I think it might be a better idea to split this cast into two because it's going to be so big. Glenn and I will be talking about some of the stories that are in the news, including the miracle on the Hudson and some of the things that libertarians noticed about the way that that was presented in the media and by the politicians. In addition to that, we'll also talk about Barack Obama's really expensive inauguration, something to which I referred in this cast. And we'll get into some deeper philosophical and political economic questions that are often presented to libertarians and anarcho-capitalists who believe that government should be eliminated entirely and that any of the institutions that we want to have created to better our lives can actually better our lives only if they are created by social institutions, by social interaction.
not through government, not through force, not through majority rule, and not even through constitutional governments that supposedly protect our natural rights, but in fact infringe on our natural rights in order to create that very government. So stay tuned for that tomorrow. And in the meantime, to give you something to make up for the fact that we will be putting that out tomorrow and sort of teasing you to listen tomorrow, I'm going to give you something from one of my favorite new discoveries. They've actually been around for a little while, but I only came across them just by chance on eMusic one night. And man, these guys are awesome. You might have heard them in one of my previous music casts. They're the band The Asian Dub Foundation, based out of the UK, although they have members from many countries. And man, they are great. This is a song that I think many people who believe in freedom will really appreciate. It's called Altered Statesman. So next time, we'll be bringing you Glenn Jacobs and our conversation about breaking news and some more philosophical and I think sometimes difficult questions for people who are interested in liberty. And right now, we'll give you this nice tune to go out with. I hope you'll like it. And as the prisoner says, be seeing you.
It's all out of your face. seal cool.